This is the Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
Dooby dooby doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby dooby doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby doo, I see you. You're not fooling me, 'cause I can see the way you shake and shiver. You know we got a mystery to solve, so Scooby-Doo, be ready for your act. Don't hold back, and Scooby-Doo, if you come through, you're gonna have yourself a Scooby snack. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, here are you, you're ready and you're willing.
Hello and welcome to the 77th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am your host, DFG and Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson. Hello.
Good day, although I was told to shut up, so I'm not sure if I should respond.
And returning as a special guest, we have Glade Packer, whom we will be putting and dragging through the 8th Circle of Hell by talking about the classic Scooby-Doo cartoons.
That's both a compliment and an insult to Spawn.
Can you take him through the hell thing, and can I stay out of that part?
No.
Okay.
Well, you like it. He doesn't. That's the point.
I just don't want to go to hell with him. That's all.
Well, I'm already in hell with Scooby-Doo beating around.
Oh, jeez.
All right. So people may remember Glade from episode 69 when he and Jonathan Totter and I talked about Johnny Bravo, which Kevin wanted nothing to do with, which...
And I thank Glade for filling in for me for that. He did an admirable job. He did an admirable job, and he saved me from going through the 8th Circle of Hell or whatever it is that we go through.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, now we're changing roles, aren't we?
Oh, boy. Yeah, so let's just get right into the history lesson.
Alrighty then. Scooby-Doo is the topic for today, and Scooby-Doo, obviously, is an animated television series produced in several different versions from 69, and it's still going, yes. The original series was entitled Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And it was created for Hanna-Barbera Productions by Joe Ruby and Ken Spears as a Saturday morning cartoon series. Hanna-Barbera produced numerous spin-offs and related works until being absorbed in 2001 into Warner Brothers Animation, which has handled production since then. All versions of the show feature a talking dog named Scooby-Doo, and the original series included four teenagers, or young adults, whatever you want to call them, Fred Jones, Daphne Blake, Velma Dinkley, and Shaggy Rogers, although not all of them appear in all the different versions that have come out. These five characters drive around in the Mystery Machine van, solving mysteries by exposing seemingly otherworldly ghosts and monsters, or whatever, as flesh and blood crooks. Later versions of Scooby-Doo feature different variations on the show's supernatural theme and include characters such as Scooby's cousin Scooby-Dum and nephew Scrappy-Doo.
Scrappy-Doo rules!
Oh, God. In addition to or instead of some of the original characters, Scooby-Doo was broadcast on CBS from 1969 to 76 when it moved to ABC. ABC aired the show until its canceling in 86 and presented a spinoff, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, which we've already covered in Tooncast from 1988 until 1991. The series was revived for the WB network from 2002 to 2006 when it began running on the CW network until 2008. And the current series is Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, which started on Cartoon Network just this past summer on July 12th. And that's basically all I want to say about the history lesson for Scooby-Doo. So let's start with TFG1 Mike. What do you remember about whichever version of Scooby-Doo you actually remember?
Well, I would like to talk about briefly because we're only doing all of the Scooby incarnations pre-1988, but I do want to bring up Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, which is the newest one. Derek J. Wyatt, who was the lead character designer on Transformers Animated, is doing that show, and it is awesome.
It is pretty good. I will give you that much.
It is very awesome. It's easily the best Scooby show of the present day that has come out in the last 5-6 years.
And it's full of different homages to past series.
Exactly. As far as the older stuff, I remember bits and pieces of Where Are You? What I really remember is obviously 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, and I remember the Scooby-Doo movies. are the new Scooby-Doo movies, which was there's several different like animated features. Two of them, I believe, featured Batman and Robin. There was one with the Harlem Globetrotters. There was one with Jonathan Winters. There was one with Dick Van Dyke. There was one with Don Knotts. It was just really, really great. This was one of those cartoons that I remember watching as a kid along with everything else. Transformers, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Mask, Thundercats, which is easily the best American anime series ever.
Batman, the animated series.
Yeah, Batman. Well,
he was trying to make fun of the Silverhawks.
But these were on these were running in the '80s. So these were rerunning in the '80s. So Batman, the animated series hadn't come out yet by then time. But yeah, just overall, really, I think I relate more to Scooby and Shaggy than anybody else.
Oh Jesus Christ!
I like those kids. Those are
we're not two characters yet.
I know we're not two characters yet, but I'm just saying, I think that they are the ones that have the most comedy in the shows, and obviously later on we'll get to why that is.
They're on drugs.
No, they're not on drugs.
At least Shaggy is.
So what about you, Glade?
Oh, let's see. Fond memories?
Or any memories.
All I remember is watching the one with Batman and Robin from the 60s. My fond memory has yet to come to pass because it's still not dead.
Did you ever watch any of these versions, though, as any age, whatever you age, you know, as a kid or as a grown-up? Have you ever watched any of the series?
I'd like to keep my somewhat low intelligence at the level it's at or try to raise it, not lower it more. I saw the live action movie, and that was enough for me to say, "Oh,
see,
God,
that was not fair." Why? You can't judge Scooby Doo on the live action.
Yeah, you can't at all.
Okay, well, okay.
As far as the old cartoons go,
I'm sorry, I was going to get to that. It's all the same. They're like, "Oh, this is a real monster." They don't ever say it's a guy in a mask. They have pointless chases. And maybe that's supposed to be an homage to Benny Hill, but in every single episode, it gets rather tedious. And I know it's for kids, but it's tedious.
Oh, I agree that they recycle the same thing over and over again, but you gotta admit, because a lot of different series have tried the same formula, and Scooby-Doo is the best at doing the formula they did. I know over, you know, 20, 30, 40 years and hundreds of episodes that it may seem old because they basically do the same thing over and over again. But so many other people have tried to do the same thing and failed.
I think there's a reason why.
But well, Scooby-Doo somehow pulls it off.
Exactly.
And it's still popular with at least some niche of the population.
I tell you one thing. Scooby-Doo is so popular that the Scooby-Doo running gag that you don't like, Glade, I can easily find that in almost anything nowadays. Hell, I found it in an episode of Beast Machines.
Where was that?
You just ruined that for me now.
Don't ruin more shows for him. Where did you see it in Beast Machines?
Yeah, really.
There is a scene where in one of the early episodes of Season 1 where Black Arachnia and Rat Trap are sneaking around the spaceport to get to the ship to find out what happened to them. And they're sneaking around Tankor. And they go, like, they dart down one way, Tankor will dart down the other way. And it trust me, it's a Scooby-Doo reference.
Yeah, but that's different. They don't end up chasing Tankor, and then Tankor ends up chasing them, though. That's what
No,
I mean.
But it's still the same thing, though. It's still the Scooby-Doo whole premise of the whole chase in and out and mixing around and stuff.
And really, I think the chases were done not necessarily for anything to do with the story. The chases were done to give them a chance to play certain music and kind of keep you know, progress the plot and kind of take up time and make it, like, more, you know, exciting or interesting, not so slow-paced.
And some of the chases with the music are, as well as, you know, them running around, it's a sight gag, really, because, you know, because you don't expect the monster to start chasing that, or them to start chasing the monster, really.
Right.
So it's a whole sight gag thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, after the first, okay, I'm sure when it first started, it was hilarious. I mean, if I saw it only once, if it's a rarity, I would laugh. But like you said earlier, going over 40, 100 episodes, not too funny anymore.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, you know, as far as, you know, comparing it, you got to kind of look at it when it came out. And when it comes out in, you know, 1969 and comparing it to what else is out there, it was, you know, pretty not necessarily progressive, but it was unlike most stuff that was out there at the time. And at the time, it had to seem more exciting, more action, more music, more mystery. You know, it was not something that kids were exposed to at that point. And I think you can kind of let that last for the first decade or almost two decades that it's out, you know, all the 70s at least. And then after that, it's since been living off of that legacy. You know, if it had just come out in the 80s, if there was no Scooby-Doo in the 60s or 70s and it came out in the 80s, I don't think we would, you know, have this same type of cult following that we do today. But I think because it hit home in the 60s and 70s when kids were not exposed to something like it, it's still living off of that, yep. In my opinion.
All right. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I'm not a total hater. Just
sorry. You can hate. You can hate. I've hated many shows that we've covered, so that's okay. Right. As for general memories, I don't ever recall, you know, as a kid watching these different Scooby-Doo episodes. To me, I was watching a Scooby-Doo episode. I was unaware of the fact that different Scooby-Doo series existed. I had no idea that I was watching, like, let's say a What's New Scooby-Doo or Where Are You Scooby-Doo or a Scooby-Doo and the 13 Ghosts. Like, as a kid, I didn't know that those were different things. As a kid, I was watching a cartoon that had Scooby-Doo in it. And I just remember more the characters and the basic plot because it kind of stayed true no matter what series you're talking about. This was one of my brother's favorite cartoons, and like I've said a couple times on other shows, he was about 10 years older than me, so he was someone who actually was born in 1970. So this is what was on when he was a small child, and he kind of just transferred that to me, so that's where my memories come from. It wasn't something that I remember, like, running home to watch from school. It wasn't something that I knew what time, what day it was on, and I kind of put it in my schedule like I did with, you know, like Transformers or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever, you know, show, G.I. Joe, that I was watching at the time. But it was something that I would catch occasionally when there was nothing else on or in between other things, and, you know, I didn't dislike it. I liked it to a point. And we'll talk about some of the reasons why I liked it as we went through. But to me, it was good for a cartoon filler in between episodes of something that I was more, you know, excited to watch, like Transformers or whatever else was on.
Yeah, Scooby was one of those cartoons, like I've said before on this show, on several of the cartoons. It was one of those things where, oh, this is on. Oh, this is.
It was like Looney Tunes. It was always on.
Yeah, yeah.
And you didn't mind watching it while you waited for whatever other show was coming.
Exactly. Yep.
Or if you were comparing it to something that was worse out there, you know, you would watch it, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I won't talk about all the stuff you liked. Never mind.
Now, wait a second here. You cannot compare. Obviously, Stoopy. Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo stands ahead of a lot of the other stuff, but you cannot compare it to other stuff that we've talked about on this show because it came before it.
All right, I agree.
Yeah, so getting into the characters and voice actors, and we're basically just going to go through each character, list their different voice actors that they've had over the years, and we'll talk about the character individually. First up is the Great Dane himself, Scooby-Doo. Don Messick did his voice from 1969 to 1997. Hadley Kay did his voice in 97. Scott Eanes did it 98 to 2001 for the direct-to-video DVD films and the 2001 to 2006 video games. Neil Fanning was the theatrical live-action films voice for Scooby. And from 2002 to now, the incomparable Frank Welker has done Scooby for the shows, games, direct-to-DVD films, and live-action telefilms.
Woo, now, Frank Welker.
To be fair, I mean, obviously Scooby doesn't talk a lot.
Well, Scooby has no language. I mean, Scooby is like, you know, us as kids with our friends creating like weird alien languages or something.
Right. But I guess my point is that all of those guys could have done basically the same sounding voice without too much studying it or too much work. It wasn't like it was a hard voice to duplicate.
Oh no.
But it does have its unique kind of language and its unique voice, and everybody kind of knows what Scooby-Doo sounds like. And to me, he is the, obviously, since it's Scooby-Doo cartoons, he is the main and best character in all of these things.
Yep. Scooby rules.
But there's not really a voice comparison, so to say, with the Scooby-Doo voice actors.
Well, you guys do have voice compare up at BBT.
I don't have one for Scooby-Doo yet. I've made one for
really?
I've made one for all the other main characters.
You lazy bastard.
For Scooby-Doo, it's almost like you're not comparing anything.
But, yeah, you can. You can put up, because they're not.
I will eventually, but
I can tell. I'm sorry. I can tell the difference between Scott Innes and Don Messick.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
Quiet, you.
Quiet, you.
That's a Phineas and Ferb reference for those who might have missed it.
Yeah, I missed it. Thank
yeah, you missed it. You always miss references. And next up is Norville Shaggy Rogers. Casey Kasem, who is the greatest radio voice of all time.
But not the greatest voice actor of all time.
I said greatest radio voice of all time. Open your ears.
I know, I was adding a subtitle.
Okay. Yeah. He voiced Shaggy from 1969 to 97, and then again from 2002 to 2009, where he retired. Billy West took over in 98. Scott Innes was the voice for 99 to 2001 for the direct-to-DVD films and the 2001 to 2009 video games. Scott Menville was the voice for Shaggy and Scooby-Doo Get a Clue. Oh, God. That's going to be a horrible episode in 65 years from the future. That's when it gets bad.
I hope that's not an episode in 65 years in the future.
Yes, it is, actually.
Mr. Ink should be.
Well, yeah, Mr. Ink will be, but anyway.
Okay.
And then, of course, you have Matthew Lillard, who was the live actor in the theatrical live-action films.
Boo.
Well, hold on. Hold on. Shut up. And then he is also the voice actor from 2010, obviously, to now, to the present now. I gotta say, the only good thing about Scooby-Doo the movie, the first live-action movie, was that they got him to voice Shaggy. I thought that was a really nice kind of homage type of thing from Casey Kasem to him, because he nailed it, I thought.
Maybe the voice, but he looked like a freaking retard.
Well,
doesn't he always?
Yes.
Not the actor, but I mean
Scooby-Doo. The character, yeah.
Both.
Leave Matthew Lillard alone, damn it.
I hate Matthew Lillard.
Why?
I don't know. He just bugs me.
Why?
He just bugs me. I don't
like
him. He annoys me.
And then you had Nick Palatatis as the live actor in the live-action telefilms.
Now, this one's pretty obvious. I mean, Casey Kasem is Shaggy. That is the voice of Shaggy. That's you know, no one can really compete with Casey Kasem.
No.
I'm not a huge Casey Kasem fan, but he is Shaggy.
Yep.
That's all thoughts, Blade?
Why on God's green earth is this show still on?
He's just going to say that every time we go to him. Why is the show still on? Have you seen any episodes of Mystery Inc., Blade?
No, I didn't mean that show. I meant Scooby.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen Mr. Inc.
Mystery Incorporated.
Oh, my bad. No, I haven't seen that.
Okay. Yeah, it's the new show on Cartoon Network. You should probably check it out because it is pretty good.
I don't think he's gonna do that.
I might, but if it's as if it's like Scooby Doo in any way, I'm probably gonna be like, why did I just destroy that brain
cell?
It is
Scooby Doo Mystery Incorporated. That's the title of the show, dude.
No, I mean like if it's is it a rehash of Scooby Doo all over again?
It's a new updated version of it.
Is it
with the same characters and the same plot lines, basically, but better animation?
So the only difference is new animation.
Well,
just give it a try. It's not going to kill you.
Here, have cocaine. This won't kill you yet.
Okay, wait a minute here. You cannot you cannot compare cocaine to a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Oh, you can't?
You can, no. Though, compare cocaine to a Ren and Stimpy cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. Those bastards.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Marijuana. That's
okay, that's better.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So moving on, we have Fred Jones, who, again, the incomparable Frank Welker voices him throughout time, 1969 to now.
He is the only voice, the only animated voice of the adult Fred Jones.
Right. And then you had Carl Stevens played the kid Freddy in A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, which I think he did a pretty good job. Leave A Pup Named Scooby-Doo alone, Blade. That was a good show.
But not as good as Mike claims it is.
That was a funny show. Yes, it is. Shut up.
Not as good as Muppet Babies.
Well, again, you really can't compare the two.
You tried That's to because last episode.
Did not.
One's intelligent, one isn't.
Oh.
And then Chris Cox voiced him in the Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed video game. Freddie Prinze Jr. was the live-action actor, and then Robbie ML was the live-action actor in the telefilms.
This one's like Shaggy. I mean, Casey Kasem is Shaggy. Frank Welker is Fred Jones. End of discussion.
Yep. And then you had Daphne Blake. Yeah, Kevin's going down that list.
Daphne Blake actually has been voiced by a ton of people because it started in the very first season with a lady named Indira Stefaniniana Christofferson. She was almost immediately replaced with Heather North Kenny, who voiced her for almost three decades. Kelly Martin was the kid voice in A Pup Named Scooby-Doo. Then we had the late Mary Kay Bergman from 98 to 2000, and since then it's been Gray Delisle. Obviously, Sarah Michelle Gellar was the live actor that played her in the films, and you've had a couple other people do her in video games and whatnot, but it's basically been Heather North Kenny as the early animated voice, and then Gray Delisle, basically the current voice.
Right.
And my favorite Daphne voice is definitely Heather North Kenny.
Oh, yeah.
Gray Delisle does a good job, but Heather North Kenny, to me, is the best Daphne voice.
Yes. And then you have Velma Dinkley. That's a weird last name.
Fun to say.
Nicole Jaffe voiced her from 69 to 73, and then in 2003, Pat Stevens took over from 76 to 79. Marla Frumkin? Wow, that's a horrible name to be saddled with. 79 to 80 and 84, Christina Lang, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, in 88 to 91. B.J. Ward from 97 to 2001, Mindy Cohn from 2002 to now, and then Linda Cardellini was the live-action theatrical actress, and Haley Kiyoko was the live actress in the telefilms.
Velma has had a lot of different voices and a lot of good voices. Obviously, B.J. Ward was one of the best voice actresses for the entire 80s and into the 90s, but Mindy Cohn does an excellent job of Velma now. But my favorite is a toss-up between Nicole Jaffe and, if that's how you say it, and Pat Stevens. I will give a quick plug, though. Anybody that wants to compare all the different voices for Velma, Shaggy, Freddy, or Daphne, we have all of them lined up at BTVA. You can go there and you can listen to clips from each one and decide for yourself and vote for.
Now go put Scooby up there, you asshole.
Which one's your favorite? We have all the four main teenagers / adults out there, so you can vote for your favorites. We'll get Scooby up there eventually.
I agree. I like Nicole Jaffe and Pat Stevens, but I also like Christina Lang. And I like everything to do with A Pup Named Scooby-Doo. That was just a fun show. It was a fun show. Shut up.
I think you should marry A Pup Named Scooby-Doo. Sorry.
Okay,
I was trying to act like a fourth grader.
Yeah, exactly.
If you love it, why don't you marry it?
Now we have one of the most controversially hated characters, which I absolutely love, Scrappy-Doo.
Who's doing that?
And two reasons why Scrappy is awesome. Lenny Weinrib and Don Messick. Lenny Weinrib voiced him from 79 to 80, and then Don Messick voiced him from 80 to 86.
His voice is fine, but the character was completely unneeded.
Whatever.
I have two reasons
why. The character that was unneeded was Scooby-Dumb.
Well, that was also unneeded. Any Scooby or Scrappy anything, Scooby-Doo needed to be the only damn dog in the show. Sorry. But Glade was going to give us two reasons why you should hate him.
Yes, two counter reasons to your two liking reasons. One, he is unnecessary, and two, his lines are completely ridiculous.
His voice actor is good, but his lines suck.
His lines are funny as hell. What the hell is wrong with you people?
I think you grew up on... You were doing marijuana when you watched these shows.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
I'm just kidding. I will agree with Glade 100% on this. I hate Scrappy-Doo.
No, Scrappy rules. And then
marijuana does, too, until you die.
And become mean and angry.
And Scott Innes did him in the 2002 live-action film Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law episode, Shaggy Busted.
Because he was
yes! Innocent. Exactly. They were caught due to crack. What do you say to that?
So for Popeye, we had kidnapping molesters, and for Scooby-Doo, we have a bunch of drug addicts. We're making friends all over the place.
And then Vincent Van Gool, who was only in The 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, was voiced by Vincent Price, obviously. And he is also reprised voiced by Maurice LaMarche, who is an excellent mimicker. So even though Mr. Price is no longer with us, he passed away a while ago, I believe, Maurice LaMarche does voice Vincent in Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated.
And like we kind of mentioned before, that's because Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, we're not really talking about that, but that they brought a lot of characters back, like Vincent Van Gool and other things that had previous incarnations.
Yeah. Now,
some of the, just running down some of the other characters real quick, like Mike mentioned, Scooby-Dum, that was the legendary Dawes Butler. Flim Flam, Susan Blue from Transformers fame. Howard Morris from Garfield and Friends did Bogle.
I hate Bogle and Weird.
And Weird was Artie Johnson. Scott Menville from A Pup Named Scooby-Doo as Red Herring. And then you had a ton of people, including, I should mention Thorn, Luna, and Dusk, because they've appeared in a bunch of different stuff. Jennifer Hill, Kimberly Brooks, and Jan Wiedlin from, what band was she in?
The Hex Girls.
No, but in a real life, Jan Wiedlin is a real life singer. From not the Goo Goo Dolls, I don't think, but it's something
no,
like
it's not
that.
The Goo Goo Dolls.
Or not, I didn't mean Goo Goo Dolls. I meant the Go Go's.
Oh, the Go Go's. Okay.
She's from one of those 80s like girl bands.
So, all right. So, favorite character.
My favorite character is pretty freaking easy. It's cheating because it's Scooby Doo. If I had to say my favorite human character, I would say that it is Freddy. Just because I liked Freddy. He was kind of the leader type guy. He wasn't necessarily cocky or anything, but he was the guy that kind of took charge, and he was not as smart as Velma and everything, but I don't know. I liked Freddy, so not as much as I like Scooby-Doo, but those are my two favorites.
What about you, Glade?
Oh, dear God.
If you had to pick a favorite, who would it be?
Well, I'll just say it like this. I can relate to Scooby-Doo's hunger. But I don't really have a favorite character. But I have to say, if I get past my hatred of Scooby-Doo, I would have to say it's probably Velma, because it shows that women are intelligent. It's not degrading or
That's
anything
true.
Like that.
It is one of the rare early female characters that is not shown to be a complete moron or completely reliant on the men in whatever she's in.
Yeah, so for women's rights, I give Scooby-Doo that credit.
So, Glade is scoring points with the women listeners. What about you, Mike? What's your favorite character?
Shaggy, Scooby, and Scrappy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Yep.
Jeez.
All right, Glade, what's your least favorite character? Pick one. Or two.
Just one?
Or
That's
two.
That's obvious.
Okay, let's see. Or,
no more than three.
Shaggy, Scooby...
Okay, no, hold on. Shaggy I can get, and Scrappy I can understand that people don't like him, but why don't you like Scooby-Doo?
What the hell is the point of Scooby? Why do we have a talking dog? Is he a ghost inhabiting the body of a dog, and that's why they try to bust ghosts? I just don't understand his purpose.
There's a proton pack when you really need it.
His purpose is comedy. His and Shaggy's purpose only is comedy.
Well, why do you have Shaggy? Why do you have two comedic relief then? You only need one, really, I think.
Yeah. That's why.
I don't know.
That's why least favorite character is easily Shaggy. I freaking hate Shaggy. If they was Fred, Velma, and Daphne trying to solve stuff, and Scooby was their little pet comedic relief thing, good. Shaggy drives me nuts. First of all, I don't like his look, his appearance. He's always scruffy and I don't know. And he's easy. He's lazy. He just eats everything. I there's nothing to like about Shaggy.
Agreed. So, okay, let me put it this way. It's a tie between Shaggy and Scooby, because really one of those two is pointless, and you can't have Scooby do the show without Scooby Doo.
Yeah.
So
I would say Scrappy's my least favorite, but to me he's a pointless character, so I don't even want to consider him. So Shaggy's my least favorite. Mike, which one's your least favorite?
I'd have to say probably Scooby Dumb and like all the other dogs.
No, main character. Which one of the main characters is your favorite?
Freddy, he's incompetent. His plans always fail.
He's the leader.
he gets Daphne.
Yeah,
they do a better job with Leonardo leading them than they would Freddy.
But we're not talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Did you just make a jump from Scooby-Doo to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yes, I did. And I can do that. It's my show, damn it.
What the hell?
It's called marijuana.
Freddy gets Daphne. How can you hate Freddy on that? He gets the girl.
Well, Velma gets Daphne, too, at a couple points, so...
What?
Wait, what?
What?
I'm sorry, did you make a lesbian reference?
Did you make a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reference followed by a lesbian reference in a show that has already had cocaine references?
Hey, I didn't bring up the cocaine stuff. You guys did. That's all.
When did Daphne get Velma?
I don't know. Look down in the notes there. It's down
in
there.
In the recent episodes, Velma and Shaggy are basically an item, which is disturbing. But at least Freddy and Daphne, you kind of pull for them. It's like Zach and Kelly. You kind of like want them to be together, in my opinion.
Okay, moving into the behind-the-scenes segment. Wow, we've had a whole hell of a lot of reference, and we're only 30 minutes into the show.
You really hate Freddy?
He's a moron.
Okay, you like Shaggy, and you hate Freddy.
Right.
Okay, I just want to make that clear. I just want to make that clear for our listeners.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting into the behind-the-scenes segments, obviously the show has had several directors over the years, most notably, obviously, Joseph Barbera and William Hanna. Let's see. Carl Urbano, Charles A. Nichols. For the writers, Joe Ruby, Ken Spears, Tom Ruger, obviously. Very, very cool. And just a bunch. Ooh, Buzz Dixon's on the list. Okay.
Mark Evanier. You gotta mention Mark Evanier.
Yeah, Mark Evanier as well. Yep.
And Doug Booth.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
So, Kevin, take us through the creation process here.
You really want me to do that?
And as well.
Basically, in 1967, parent-run organizations, most notably Action for Children's Television, which there must be none of these that exist anymore, began vocally protesting that what they perceived as an excessive amount of gratuitous violence in Saturday morning cartoons because of all of the action comic book hero cartoons that were coming out at the time. Most of these shows were Hanna-Barbera action cartoons, such as Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, The Herculoids, and most of them were canceled by 1969. Basically, the 70s, this is a side note by me, the 70s was a dead time for cartoons. The critics came out and killed cartoons for the entire decade of the 70s. So basically, most of the studios had to try to come up with programs that were safe for children. Fred Silverman, who was the famous CBS children's programming exec at the time, was looking for a show that would revitalize the Saturday morning lineup and also please all of these stupid watch groups. The result was stuff like The Archie Show, which was basically, you know, based on little different music numbers. And then based on that response, he went into trying to have another teenage group that would solve mysteries, which, you know, to make a long story short, leads us to Scooby-Doo. So Hanna-Barbera passed this task of coming up with this to Joe Ruby and Ken Spears. The original concept of the show bore the title Mysteries 5 and featured five teens, Jeff, Mike, Kelly, Linda, and Linda's brother WW, and their dog, Too Much was the name of the dog, which were all members of the band Mysteries 5. So at the beginning there was going to be this musical kind of reference, and the dog played the bongos. Sorry.
Oh,
when the Mysteries 5 were not performing at gigs, they were out solving spooky mysteries involving ghosts, zombies, and other supernatural creatures, so that part they kept. Ruby and Spears were unable to decide whether Too Much would be a large, cowardly dog or a small, feisty dog. And when the former was chosen, the options became a large, goofy German shepherd or a big, shaggy sheepdog. After consulting with Barbera on the issue, Too Much was finally set as a Great Dane, to avoid a direct correlation with the dog that was on the Archies. Ruby and Spears feared the Great Dane would be too similar to the comic strip character Marmaduke, but Barbera assured them it would not be a problem. Kind of skipping along a little bit, by the time the show was ready for presentation, a few more things had changed. Jeff and Mike were merged into one character called Jeff, later renamed Fred. Kelly was renamed Daphne, Linda was now called Velma, and Shaggy, which was the WW character, was no longer her brother. Also, Silverman, not being very fond of the name Mysteries 5, had renamed the show Who's scared with three S's. So who's scared? Using storyboard presentations and a short completed animation sequence, Silverman presented Who's Scared to the CBS executives as the centerpiece for the upcoming 69-70s season Saturday morning cartoon block. The execs felt that the presentation artwork was too spooky for young viewers, and thinking that the show would be the same, decided to pass on it, which was a mistake by them. Without a centerpiece, Silverman turned to Ruby and Spears, who reworked the show to make it more comedic and less frightening. They dropped the rock band element, thank God, and began to focus more attention on Shaggy and Too Much. According to Ruby and Spears, Silverman was inspired by a combination of Scooby-Doo section in Sly and the Family Stone's Everyday People and Frank Sinatra's scat Doobie Doobie Doo he heard at the end of Strangers in the Night. So on the way out to one of their meetings, they decided to rename the dog Scooby-Doo. So that's where the name comes from. And rechristened the show Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? The revised show was presented to CBS execs, who approved it for production. For no apparent reason, it was decided that all episodes would take place at night. So that's the history of the production and the becoming of Scooby-Doo. Any comments?
I'm glad they changed it.
I'm glad they didn't go the same rock band, whatever, that they
were. No, I'm glad they changed the names of the characters, because holy crap.
No, I'm glad that, too, but I'm glad that they're not a rock band like we see in Jabberjaw, like we see in the Archies, like we see in, whatever, Josie and the Pussycat. Every 70s show tried to do this same dang synopsis. I mean, I don't know if the people that were writing cartoon shows were just completely out of ideas at that point and had to copy everything, but 70s cartoons suck because everybody tried to do the same dang thing. I mean, you can count a dozen shows that have four or five teenagers with an animal of or something that are either a mystery-solving group or a rock band. And Scooby-Doo did it better than any of the other ones, but I wish all the other ones didn't really exist. Exactly. If it was called Too Much instead of Scooby-Doo,
it would not be around today.
And Glade would be happy.
Yes, there would be a god smiling Glade. Upon us.
Glade, do you agree that it would not be good if they were a rock band and all that nonsense? It might have been better if they were more spooky like they were originally and more mystery type and less, a little less comedic. I think they still needed some comedic parts, but yeah. I think they went too far to the extreme at some points. I will agree with that.
How much does Shaggy eat per episode?
Yeah. This is why children are obese. No, I'm just kidding.
Probably didn't help. I can't believe that. Oh yeah, no offense to those people out there, but I can't believe that Sinatra actually inspired the name. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, I do agree with that. It's kind of cool how they came up with Scooby-Doo, because you got to kind of be thinking, where did they come up with this weird name like Scooby-Doo?
That's what I was wondering,
and I never knew that before today, so that's kind of cool.
So there are reasons to like the Scooby-Doo franchise. Thank you very much.
We're not saying it's not.
I'm saying that there's at least one reason why you should, and probably 1,000 why you shouldn't.
I will give it credit. They do have different characters. I mean, you have the nerdy, girl, like smarty pants character. You have the, the little like homecoming queen type, popular girl character. You have the jock type character. You have the nerd boy type character. You have Scooby-Doo as just you have a little bit of everything, so you can kind of get little bits from different characters that you can relate to. Obviously, we're all geeks, so we can somewhat relate to Velma. We can probably relate to one or two of the other characters from different parts. So they did a good job of kind of reaching out to try to touch or try to, relate to every type of different kid that's out there. I will give them that much credit.
Okay, two reasons.
And I think that's why it's popular, is because even kids today can relate to at least one, if not more, of the parts of the characters.
Exactly. So moving into the actual show here, we have several different synopses because obviously there's several different series. For the CBS years, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Made its CBS network debut Saturday, September 13th, 1969, with its first episode, What a Night for a Night. The original voice cast featured veteran voice actor Don Messick as Scooby-Doo, top 40 radio DJ Casey Kasem as Shaggy, actor Frank Welker as Fred, actress Nicole Jaffe as Velma, and musician, whatever the hell her name is, as Daphne. Scooby's speech patterns closely resembled an earlier cartoon dog, Astro, from The Jetsons.
Also voiced by Messick.
Exactly.
I always wish that Scooby and Astro would have met up at some point.
They did.
No, I mean, like, now.
Oh. I was going to say, there has been cartoons where they've both been in it.
Yeah.
There was 17 episodes of that first version.
Yep.
And I think, you know, just getting into the new Scooby-Doo movies, that was in 72. After 25 half-hour episodes, the program was doubled to a full hour, and that was called the new Scooby-Doo movies. So that's basically the second version of this. Each episode featured a different guest star, and that's when you get all the people like Harlem Globetrotters, the Three Stooges, Don Knotts, Batman and Robin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The new Scooby-Doo movies has the most famous celebrity guest stars.
Yeah.
And each of those people appeared at least twice on the show, and they had a new theme song. After two seasons and 24 episodes, the new movies format, the show went basically into reruns in the original series until Scooby moved to ABC. So the first two on CBS are basically the original one and new Scooby movies, and then it goes to ABC.
Right. And I got to say, the new Scooby's theme, the new Scooby movies theme is the one that I remember the most.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? But the new Scooby movies theme was one of my all-time favorites from Scooby, so...
Yeah.
Next to a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Oh, God, it was way better than that one. And then it goes to the ABC years for the latter part of the 70s. For their 76 and 77 season, new episodes of Scooby-Doo were joined with Dynamite Dog Wonder, so it was the Scooby-Doo Dynamite Hour. And this hour-long package show later evolved into the longer programming block, Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics. The Laugh Olympics were awesome, and Scooby's just called Scooby's All-Stars. New Scooby episodes in the original Scooby-Doo Where Are You format were produced for each of these three seasons. Nicole Jaffe had retired, so that's when Pat Stevens took over. And this is also where we have Scooby-Dum come in, as well as a couple other things. So that was the first, basically the first couple years of the ABC.
Yes, and then from 79 to 84, we had the Scooby-Doo characters first appeared outside of their regular Saturday morning format in Scooby Goes Hollywood, an hour-long ABC television special aired in primetime on December 13th, 1970. Well, they love airing this show on the 13th day, don't they?
Yeah.
It's a sign from the devil.
I told you we were going through this in whatever circle of hell.
The special revolved around Shaggy and Scooby's attempts to have the network move Scooby out of Saturday mornings and into primetime series, and featured the spoofs of then-current TV shows and films such as Happy Days, Superman, Laverne and Shirley, and Charlie's Angels. In 79, Scooby's tiny nephew, Scrappy-Doo, was added to both the series and billing in an attempt to boost Scooby-Doo's slipping ratings.
Did not help.
Yes, it did. The 79-80 episodes aired under the title Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo. Succeeded in regenerating interest in the show, Pat Stevens voiced Velma in the first 11 episodes, but Marla Frumkin took over the role for four episodes.
And then, unfortunately, in 1980, the show was overhauled to focus more on Scrappy-Doo.
Sometimes things should just die.
And this is weird, though. This is weird because in 1980, Fred Daphne, and a lot of people aren't aware of this, but Fred Daphne and Velma were completely dropped from the series.
Yep.
It was Shaggy, Scooby, and Scrappy. So if you want to go watch a Scooby-Doo episode, stay away from the 1980 version.
See, I like the 1980 version. I love the old version with everybody, but I like the 1980
version. No, they took three of the best characters, Fred, Daphne, and Velma, off the show and gave you Scrappy and Shaggy more. That's bad.
Okay, so getting into the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo. 1985 saw the debut of the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, which featured Daphne, Shaggy, Scooby, Scrappy, and new characters Flim Flam and Vincent Van Gool, based upon and voiced by Vincent Price. Who are you booing at? Flim Flam?
I'm booing Flim Flam. I don't mind Vincent Van Gool. I like that they bring Daphne back here. I like Vincent Van Gool, but Flim Flam could have gone the same place Scrappy did in the Scrap Heap.
Flim Flam was cool. Shut up.
No, Flim Flam was...
Flim Flam, the only reason why Flim Flam is cool is because Susan Blue voices him.
Yeah, but Flim Flam is a pointless attempt to try to be more diverse.
Well, traveling the globe to capture the 13 of the most terrifying ghosts upon the face of the earth. The final first-run episode of the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo aired in March 1986, and no new Scooby series aired on the network for the next 2 years. Reruns of previous Scooby episodes, however, continue to air both as part of the Scooby-Doo Mystery Funhouse package and under the new Scooby and Scrappy-Doo show banners.
It never dies.
There's a number, kind of just going into some of the themes that people have picked up over the years, or a little bit of trivia here. There's a number of rumors about hidden jokes or subliminal message that surround the series. It's kind of like Disney in that way. First of all, about Fred and Daphne going off and having sex when the gang splits up to look for clues.
Since you brought up the sex part, here's another one. Velma is a lesbian. She has a crush on Daphne. Just because Velma's boyfriend is not a member of the gang like Daphne's is, doesn't make her a lesbian. Neither does her being paired with Daphne when Freddy goes off on his own to find clues.
But if you watch the original shows, you'll oftentimes see that we hardly ever see Daphne and Fred actually looking for clues.
Right.
You always see Velma, Shaggy, or Scooby looking for clues, and Fred and Daphne are mysteriously not in the picture. Although it's said that the reason is because we never see Freddy or Daphne when the gang splits up is because creators Ruby and Spears found writing for Fred and Daphne, which kind of they're straight characters because they have kind of a straight stereotype, so they found the writing for them boring. So they would find an excuse to split the gang up so they could get those two out of the picture and focus on writing for Shaggy, Scooby, and Velma, which gives you a little bit more comedic kind of flexibility.
And then Velma was also written out so that they could just focus on Shaggy and Scooby to get more comedy in.
Yeah. Oh, and even in the original shows, the writers often imply that Velma and Shaggy kind of have something going on together. They're often paired together at dances if there's dances in the series and whatnot. Another little rumor or speculation about Scooby-Doo is that Shaggy is a pothead. That is why he has even the pothead term here, the munchies all the times, and why he sees the ghosts or hallucinations before many of the others. And that Scooby snacks are drugs.
Who just thunk it?
The first one may only be a rumor, but...
I don't think so.
But Shaggy is a beatnik hippie-type character, and they're often known for their free-thinking ways and marijuana and whatnot, so... You know, go with that wherever you want to go.
And really, if you jump to 1988 and you watch A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, his dad shows up. His dad was a cop in Coolsville, and his dad and his mom had the whole 70s free-thinking hippie vibe. So
yeah, and then we get into another reason why I don't necessarily love Casey Kasem. During the production of the second season, Casey Kasem became a strict vegetarian and wanted Shaggy to follow suit. Kasem was promised by Hanna-Barbera that his character would become vegetarian from that point on. Hanna-Barbera actually kept their end of the bargain from 70 to 71 season of the show. But in subsequent spin-off series, Shaggy is routinely seen snacking on non-vegetarian foods. Kasem put his foot down over this issue in 1995 after he was required to perform Shaggy's voice for commercial advertising Burger King Kids Club meals. Kasem refused to perform the voice after that and did not return to the role until 2002. So that is why we have a couple other people voicing Shaggy, because Casey Kasem, again, is using the cartoon to basically forward his own agenda.
Wow. See why you don't like him.
Yeah. He did the same thing in Transformers with Carbamia, so whatever.
Oh, my God.
But jeez. I will give him credit. He's got a great voice. I just wish he wouldn't use kids' cartoons to try to promote his agenda.
No kidding.
I mean, come on. It's a cartoon character. Why can't he eat whatever he wants to? I mean, I can see if he's saying he shouldn't eat maybe as much as he does, but being a vegetarian and, yeah, whatever. Sorry. I'll get off my soapbox again.
Okay, what are the
Mike, you have no comments on that, huh?
Well, you know, whatever. To each their own, I guess.
Do you think that Shaggy should have been a vegetarian on the show?
No, but, okay. I mean, if that's, you know, I don't know. I mean, Casey Kasem, and no offense to the guy, but Casey Kasem is a pretty strange guy when you really think about it. I mean, between him and Orson Welles, you know, they had a lot of agenda. I mean, Casey is still alive, you know, Orson, rest in peace, but I mean, if that's the way he wanted to do business, that's the way he did business, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't argue with the Bible of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Another interesting note, Velma's famous line, "My glasses, I can't see without them," was actually not in the script. Velma's voice over actress Nicole Jaffe, who was nearsighted as well, lost her glasses and uttered that, and that basically became Velma's famous catchphrase. The writers liked the line so much that Velma losing her glasses became one of the show's trademark gags. So that's kind of an interesting note. Let's see. What else is interesting here?
Everybody thought that Velma was Thelma. Actually Velma with a V, not a TH.
Shaggy and Scooby are the only characters to be in every incarnation of the series. All the other ones were dropped at one point or not in there, at one point or whatever.
Frank Wilker. 13 Ghosts is where Tom Ruger got his start.
That is where he got his start. And obviously Tom Ruger did great things like Tiny Toon Adventures and Animaniacs later on.
And a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Well, I wasn't going to mention that because it's not nearly as good as Tiny Toons and Animaniacs.
But, if you look at Tom Ruger's start here in 13 Ghosts, and then he went to A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, and then he went to Tiny Toons and Animaniacs, it keeps getting better and better and better.
Yeah. Another interesting note, Frank Welker had originally wanted to be Shaggy because he's always been cast as a straight man, and he kind of wanted to be the comedic character, and Casey Kasem wanted to be Fred. So they got each other's roles.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, no kidding.
That would have been really
interesting. Frank Welker is a druggie?
Oh, you admit it.
Yeah.
I said Frank Welker as a druggie. There's a big difference. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to take a little musical break. You're going to hear some of the other theme songs, and we'll be back with the music segment.
Uncle Scooby? Hi, I'm Scrappy Doo.
Scrappy Doo?
Scooby-Doo, where are you?
hope everybody liked or maybe didn't like the theme songs, but I think I put in there the new Scooby-Doo movies theme and the 13 Ghosts theme.
I will say that, you know, I always have to try to talk about my theme songs a little bit, but the Scooby-Doo theme song, in my opinion, is the best cartoon theme song that aired before 1980.
You mean the Scooby-Doo, Where Are You theme?
The Scooby, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? That one is the greatest theme song to air before 1980. I think there's some that were better afterwards, but in the early cartoons, classic cartoons, I think Scooby-Doo has the greatest theme song.
Right. And as far as the series' original music, Ted Nichols and Will Schaefer had done some, and surprise, surprise, Hanna-Barbera's go-to guy, Hoyt Curtin.
Right.
Did a lot of the music as well.
But what do you guys think of the different music? I mean, obviously music was huge in Scooby-Doo. It wasn't just the theme songs. Like Glade had mentioned, the chase scenes were basically made not only to have this like little comedic gag type thing, but they were made to have a chance to put some different musical tracks in there to kind of forward the action and kind of keep people interested and kind of give them a little break from the regular talking. I mean, I don't remember a lot of the music used for the chase scenes. I remember the theme songs more, but do you guys remember, Mike, do you remember any of the actual music from the chases?
What I remember, and it's, you know, it's a staple of Scooby-Doo. I don't know if they still do it today, but what I remember is, like, in most of the shows, they would always have the gag of one of them going to start the music.
Yeah.
And then they would put on a song. And, you know, they would go through this whole chase scene and, you know, the monster would chase them, they would chase the monster. And, I mean, I don't remember the actual songs that they used, but, I mean, it was a nice breakup instead of, it was a way for it to get to be a 22-minute cartoon or an hour cartoon or, you know, however long it was supposed to be.
Too long.
It's not too long. Oh, but anyways, yeah, I don't know.
Glade, you're not a big fan of any of the music or any of the theme songs?
The theme songs, no. I have the theme song stuck in my head right now. If it weren't for the
Scooby Scooby Doo,
stop! I'm resisting the temptation to bang my head against my desk.
You don't like the theme song? I can understand you not liking the show, but really, you don't like the theme song.
If you hear it too many times, you tend to hate it.
I guess.
Yeah, well,
So classic.
Terrorists should be interrogated with that music playing.
Ouch.
I don't hate the music, but I've just heard it so much, too often.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I like the Where Are You theme, but my favorite theme was the one for the new Scooby-Doo movies. I really, really enjoyed that one.
I can't comment on that, so I can say
I like the original one the best, I think. I like the one you just played the best. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, to each their own.
It's just torture, yeah.
Okay, then. Yeah, exactly. So getting into the legacy segment, Critical Reaction and Awards, oh boy.
What?
Kevin, take it away.
You know, Scooby-Doo obviously has maintained a fantastic, significant fan base. It's grown, especially since the 90s. It's been very popular with both young children and obviously the nostalgic adults who grew up in the 70s watching it. You know, the mix of comedy adventure slash horror mystery has had widespread success. Basically, as Fred Silverman and Hanna-Barbera staff had planned when they first began producing the series, Scooby-Doo's Ghosts, Monsters, and Spooky locales tend more towards humor than horror, so they're easily accessible to younger children. It's just not a show that is going to overstimulate kids' emotions and tensions, according to the American Center for Children and Media Executive Director David Kleeman. It creates just enough fun to make it fun without getting them worried or giving them nightmares, and it has had a bunch of different recognition. For example, the August 2002 issue of TV Guide featured its list of the 50 greatest cartoon characters of all time. Scooby-Doo got 22nd. so that's pretty good. It was also ranked 13th in Animal Planet's list of the 50 greatest TV animals. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Ranked first in England's 2005 list of the 100 greatest cartoons of all time. So it ranked number one in that. For 1 year, 2004 to 2005, Scooby-Doo held the Guinness World Record for having the most episodes of any animated television series ever produced, a record previously held by and later returned to The Simpsons. Scooby-Doo was published as holding this record in the 2006 Guinness Book of World Records. And then there's obviously a ton of shows that have made reference to it. Wayne's World, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Saturday Night Live, Johnny Bravo, The Venture Brothers, Robot Chicken, The Simpsons. They've all made reference to Scooby-Doo at some point. So that kind of just shows its legacy and how much impact and influence it's had on the different generations.
And in January 2009, IGN named Scooby-Doo 24th in its list of the top 100 best animated TV shows.
Which is horseshit. Sorry. You can't rank Scooby-Doo 24th all time. It should be higher. I know, Glade, you don't like it, but just for its longevity, any cartoon that's been on for 40-plus years and had the second most episodes ever of any cartoon, regardless of whether you like it or not, should be up there. Like, I don't like Simpsons, but Simpsons should be in the top five of any cartoon list ever. I don't like Simpsons, but just because of the longevity, it should be in the top five of any list you make. And I feel the same way about Scooby-Doo. I just happen to like Scooby-Doo.
I agree with the longevity, but the torture of it, no.
Well, that's how I feel if I watch Simpsons.
You know, Glade really hasn't said why he thinks it's torturous.
Well, he said it's repetitive, which I agree. I mean, I don't have the exact number of how many episodes of Scooby-Doo has aired since 1969, but you basically have hundreds and hundreds of episodes that have the exact same formula being used. So I can understand that to a point, but obviously it is something that has worked with multiple different generations. So, you know, even if you don't like it, it is something that has been proven to work. I mean, it would not have been on the air for 40 years if it was doing crappy in ratings.
That's exactly true.
But I agree with Glade to the point that it is repetitive. If you're something that wants to see something a little more creative, if you want writers that are writing stuff you've never seen before, if you're someone that like appreciates stuff like Star Trek where you get something new every single episode, you're not going to be someone that loves the writing in Scooby-Doo because you can basically predict every single episode.
That's why I don't like it.
Right, so I can understand that. If it's just something that's, you know, enjoyable by kids, you know, obviously kids aren't going to be that critical to it, but I can definitely see as a older teenager to adult why you can get tired of it.
Exactly. And we've had tons of Scooby-Doo merchandise. In 1966, Chevrolet Sport Van 108 painted a look like the Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo. A number of Scooby fans have decorated vans in this fashion.
Right. A lot of VW buses that are painted like the Mystery Machine. It's also had a bunch of comic books, but like usual, we're not going to talk about comic books here on Tooncast. It has.
The other early Scooby merchandise included a 1973 Milton Bradley board game, decorated in lunchboxes, iron-on transfer, coloring books, storybooks, records, underwear, and other such goods.
Many people have had Scooby-Doo underwear, let me tell you.
When Scrappy-Doo was introduced to the series in 1979, he, Scooby, and Shaggy became the sole focus of much of the merchandising, including the 1983 Milton Bradley Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo board game. Oh, I got to find one of those. go over to Glade's house and make him play it.
I will say that my first present ever to my niece, my only niece, when she was born, I got her a humongous Scooby-Doo stuffed animal. That was the first present I ever got her, and she loved it. I will say that much. That's the only merchandise I've ever bought from Scooby-Doo.
The first Scooby-Doo video game appeared in arcades in 1986 and has been followed by a number of games for both home consoles and personal computers. Scooby-Doo multivitamins also debuted at this time and have been manufactured by Bayer since 2001.
What's better, the Scooby-Doo multivitamins or the Flintstone vitamins?
I remember eating both of them, so maybe I was
Scooby-Doo multivitamins have drugs in them?
I was about to say that. Scooby snack anyone?
Yeah. Merchandising kind of tapered off in the late 80s and the early 90s, but then it increased when it kind of when the Scooby franchise got a revival in the mid 90s. You know, you can get Scooby-Doo breakfast cereal now, plush toys, action figures. We used to sell those at Target when I worked there, car decorations. Real Scooby Snack dog treats are produced by Del Monte Pet Products. Hasbro has created a number of Scooby board games, including a version of Clue. I don't know if they have or not, but I'm assuming they also might have a version of Monopoly out there somewhere that's Scooby-Doo themed.
Yeah.
And beginning in 2001, a Scooby-Doo children's book series was authorized by Scholastic. So if you're a fan of Scooby-Doo, you're not going to ever run out of merchandise or stuff to buy that's Scooby-Doo related.
Yes, and it has several of the series are on DVD. Of course, The 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, I have it right here in my hand. Yay. That's on DVD. The all-new Scooby and Scrappy-Doo show is not on DVD yet. New Scooby-Doo movies, they are on DVD. New Scooby-Doo mysteries, they are on DVD. A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, that's actually in the other room. I gotta go get that. No, I'm gonna have to watch that tonight. Yes. Why don't you like A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, damn it?
I don't dislike it. It's just I don't like it compared to the other Scooby-Doo stuff.
Well, it was one of the best kids shows. Except for Muppet Babies. No, I know, but yeah, but you can't, whatever. It was better than Flintstones Kids.
Yeah, it definitely was. Richie and the Scooby-Doo Hour is on DVD.
Yeah, and then the other two that are on DVD is Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?, which is getting a complete series Mystery Machine van box, and then Scooby-Doo and the Dino-Mutt Hour.
Actually, Scooby-Doo Get a Clue and What's New Scooby-Doo is also on DVD. The only ones that aren't on DVD are basically, are the all-new Scooby and Scrappy-Doo show, Scooby and Scrappy-Doo Puppy Hour, and Scooby and Scrappy-Doo. So if you see a theme there, the only ones that aren't on DVD are the ones that have Scrappy in them.
They'll be on DVD eventually.
Hopefully something with a Scrappy name or something is like licensed by someone else and they can never put those out on DVD.
I bet it's coming out.
Oh, much like Hasbro will never put out GoBots on DVD, thank God.
Much like Muppet Babies will never be on DVD.
Well, we can both agree on that, that kind of sucks, but...
It sucks that GoBots will never be on DVD, too.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway.
GoBots should never get a DVD release, never.
Whatever.
All right, so we're going to go to some voicemails and promos and all that happy crap, and we'll come back with the outro.
Dreamcast will be back after these messages!
Hello, Toontast. This is Kevin calling in with a few thoughts on Scooby-Doo. I was a big fan of the original series, and some of my first cartoon memories were of Scooby-Doo. And I think it's one of the staples of TV animation. You know, and I like how they would include celebrities in the show. I remember celebrities like Don Knotts or the Addams Family, or the Globetrotters. So, you know, Scooby-Doo had to be popular enough to get that sort of attention from Hollywood. And one thing that stood out to me that I don't think a lot of folks realized was the music. And I think that the music was just as important as any other part of the production. So, you know, there are pieces written just for the chase sequences or the party scenes. And I thought that was a nice touch for them to, you know, kind of add that, you know, and really include as a part of the production. And favorite character, of course, was Scooby-Doo. Least favorite character was Scrappy-Doo. I mean, Scrappy did provide an interesting contrast to Scooby's character, but I thought he was just so incredibly annoying. He was brave and all, but you know, I didn't feel like Scrappy was backing up all that shit he was talking. And I know you guys might call bullshit on that, but honestly, I really did not like Scrappy as a character. Now, on a technical note, I did have one big problem with the series, and I noticed this even as a kid, and that's the fact that they would reuse a lot of the animation. I mean, sometimes they would reuse the exact same run cycle for every sequence, and that really got on my nerves. And sometimes it looked like it was off scale. And I think that if it wasn't for, like, the celebrity of the show or the villain in the show, there probably wouldn't be any new animation at all. So I know that Hanna-Barbera is notorious for that, but I wish they had taken that a bit further, you know, because after a while it just looks kind of cheesy to, you know, just reuse a bunch of the stuff. as a cartoon, though, I do think that it stood the test of time with a few hiccups along the way. I didn't really keep up with A Pup Named Scooby-Doo or any of the live-action movies or what's new Scooby-Doo. The straight-to-DVD animated movies were pretty good, and much to my surprise, I mean much to my surprise, the new series, Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc., is, in my opinion, the best follow-up so far. So I hope I send this message to you guys in time before you record the show, and take it easy and talk to y'all later. All right? All right, bye.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast!
This is Megatron, leader of the Predacons, and I'm commanding you to listen to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Yes. This podcast is released bi-weekly by the folks over at GeekCastRadio.com. And I want you to listen to it because it's the world's first Beast Wars and Beast Machines review podcast. If you don't listen to it, I will send my vehicles to remove your sparks and destroy you. So, from now on, you will listen and tune into the Beast Unleashed.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of Tooncast coming this week.
Now back to Tooncast!
This is not what we need, dumbass.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, final thoughts on Scooby-Doo, Kevin?
Oh, like I said before, you know, I think any cartoon list you're making that ranks like the top cartoons of all time, you got to consider Scooby-Doo in the top 10. Just for its longevity, it's been going forever. There's tons of episodes, and it has somehow successfully reinvented itself, even though it really hasn't done much reinventing. But as far as continuing to hit with new generations, it's done that, even though it's basically the same show that aired in 1969 now. I like that the current show is giving homages to the old shows. I love the old theme song. It's completely classic and awesome. Is it one of the best written cartoons out there? No. If you're someone that likes plot and someone that likes you know, twists and turns and stuff like that, you're not going to be a fan of Scooby-Doo. But if you're just someone that just wants to show your kids some just like pure, just, you know, sit back and enjoy type entertainment for a little bit from time to time, you know, that's basically the purpose it serves. You know, I enjoyed watching the show while I waited for more complex shows to come on.
And Glade?
Well, I would have just groaned, but I'm sure people are tired of hearing that. So I'll just say watch one episode from probably each of the series and you basically got Scooby-Doo in a nutshell, except He's for the right. Scrappy-Doo stuff.
Don't watch that.
Well, yeah. To be fair, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo was a lot of fun.
Oh, so that's not the one I'm dissing. I'm sorry.
I know, but I'm just saying to include it, even though we're talking about all of the stuff before, like right before A Pup Named Scooby-Doo came out, to be fair, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo has probably some of the best storytelling out of all of them, even though it is the same type of formula.
Which isn't saying a lot.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not saying I'm not trying to disagree with you. I'm saying it does have the best storytelling out of all the Scooby-Doos, but you can't compare the storytelling in any Scooby-Doo to like anything else that was out there, except for like you said. I mean, obviously it's better than like Flintstone Kids and some of that other stuff, but I mean, writing in Transformers, even though the writing isn't good in Transformers, is way better than writing in any Scooby-Doo episode, regardless of which show you're watching.
We'll agree with the old stuff, but I'm sorry. A Pup Named Scooby-Doo had way better writing than Transformers.
I disagree. That's
no,
blasphemy.
It did.
Blasphemy.
No. Let's just say if I had to watch any series of Scooby-Doo, it'd be A Pup Named Scooby-Doo without any issue or complaint from me. So
there you go.
There we go.
And you can get those DVDs on Amazon, I think, because that's where I got them. So thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. Or so ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Also, go over and find Glade. What is your iTunes feed thing there?
Oh, my iTunes feed?
Yeah.
TSA Productions.
Okay. You can follow us on Twitter. The short name there is GCR and Tooncast. Mine is TFG on Mike. Glade, what is your Twitter?
It's surprising I actually use it, but it is TSA Productions, one word.
And Kevin?
Yeah, I don't really use Twitter, but it's Boss K Dog. But you can
find
me.
Yes, you do. You've been using it
on Facebook.
Yeah,
I agree to that one. Same here.
You can become a fan of us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We are currently running a contest. We will be giving away two Stan Bush prize packs. They each include a single autographed CD with his new album, Dream the Dream, and a T-shirt. We are hoping to get 300 fans on Facebook. As soon as we hit that mark, we will randomly pick two fans, and they'll get those. You can call our voicemail line, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be reminiscing on Rocky and Bullwinkle. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
And
Glade Packer, TSA Productions.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Scrappy rules, damn it.
No, he doesn't.